Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, hello and good morning. Great to see everybody in God's house. Great to see everybody online. It's so great to gather together on Sunday morning. And spring is in the air. Don't forget, next week, I think it's spring ahead next week, correct? Spring ahead is here. Spring is here. How many excited for spring? If you're just joining us today, my name is Pastor Joe. I'm the senior pastor of this church. I'm just honored to bring today's message. We're wrapping up the message series called Staying in Love. I hope you enjoyed the series. If you've missed any of the messages, go online. You can watch it on YouTube, watch it, go to our website. It's so important to stay connected to this house and the messages that are coming from this house, because I know God wants to speak to your heart and he wants to strengthen your marriage. Do you believe that? Let me say it again. God wants to strengthen your marriage. Do you believe that? That's the reason why I'm doing this series, because all of you were like, I think. God wants to strengthen your marriage. Do you believe that, everybody watching online? Let me know. God wants to strengthen your marriage because God wants you to enjoy marriage. He wants you to enjoy this life with your wife, enjoy this life with your husband. Marriage was not meant to be a prison sentence or a death sentence. It's not the end of your life, it's the beginning of life. Marriage is created by God for our enjoyment. Let me just stop right there. Give it up for God on that one. Say, thank you, Jesus, for marriage. And if you're single and on the hunt or single on the search, let me encourage you to first keep Jesus as your one. Keep Jesus as your one. And secondly, in this series, I hope you've been learning that it's important to be the one before you find the one. Right? It's important to be the one before you find the one. So many people are looking for the one, but they're looking for the wrong one. The first one is Jesus. That's the first one, because we're all married to Jesus. Do you know that? We are all in communion and union with Christ. We are first married to Jesus. That's why you just don't sleep with anybody. Why did it get quiet on that one? Y'all were like, yeah, Pastor, preach it. Yeah, yeah, don't sleep with anybody. Where does it say that? Lots of verses. Why? Because you're married to Jesus. You're married to Jesus first. And out of that relationship comes a marriage relationship. And that's so important for you to understand. So first, how do you find the one? You first be the one that you're looking for. That should be a song, right? Be the one, be the one. Maybe we should write it. Be the one you're looking for. Be the one. And then you'll find the one. That's what I've learned. Because the best thing for all married people, the best thing you can bring to your marriage is a transforming person. A person who's being transformed in the image of Christ. That's the best thing you can bring to this world, is someone who is changing to be like Jesus Christ. That's the best thing you can bring to your marriage. If you want to have a better marriage, then become a better you. I need some help here this morning. First service, can you give me some help? Just a little help. The best way to have a better marriage is to be a better you. A better you. Bring your best you to that relationship. That requires you to work on you. Whenever we have marriage issues, we're always pointing a finger and say, if they change. Well, 2 weeks ago, I preached on the marriage mirror. It's if you first change. First, you must change in order to bring change into your relationship. You have to first be transformed, and you have to become more like Christ. And then the marriage mirror means first look in the mirror and look at what ways you need to change. Then secondly, you're a mirror that reflects God's love to your spouse. that you're not reflecting your love, you're respecting God's, reflecting God's love to your spouse. Do you believe that? Do you see that? And then your marriage is a reflection of God's relationship with you to the world. Your marriage is a sign and wonder to the world of God's covenant relationship with us, because he created marriage to kind of depict the kind of relationship he wants with us and we want with him and we have with him. An intimate, personal, close relationship. And I love it that when Jesus comes, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to party. We're going to celebrate in what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, because the groom has finally been united with his bride. We are called the bride of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? We're the bride. That's what the scripture says. We are the bride. So our marriage should reflect our relationship with God. And a couple weeks ago, I asked you, what's your marriage reflecting? Well, let me ask you this. What's your life reflecting? What are you reflecting in your relationships? What are you reflecting in your life? The first person that needs to change is you. Somebody say that with me. The first person that needs to change is me. Me. Is me. We need to change. Then last week I talked about marriage mirror. Last week I talked about marriage killers. I talked about anger. How many kind of needed that message last week, right? Unresolved anger is one of the biggest challenges in marriages today. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Repair quickly, right? Anger, don't sin while you're angry. We talked a lot about anger last week. Today, I want to talk to you about marriage thrillers. Din, 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 din. Not that kind of thriller. I want to talk to you about having fun in your marriage. Think about fun. Think about fun. Think about how you used to have fun in your marriage. Well, Ruth and I are celebrating 24 years of marriage in June. 24 happily years of marriage in June. And I shared a little bit how we first met, actually how I first saw her at Orange County Community College here at Middletown. I saw her on the hill. I said, I got to get to know that woman. And then I talked to you about meeting her at the student lobby, the student union, they call it, or the common area. But I didn't tell you the full story. I didn't tell you. That's part three. Part one was in the college, but part two, the first time I actually had an encounter with her, was at a nightclub called Shakers. How many, if y'all from Middletown, how many remember Shakers? How many got married from Shakers? How many marriages? How many kids? Anyway, you see, back in the day, young people knew how to have fun. They knew how to get dressed up and knew how to go out. So this is how we met. I remember seeing her, filed it, went to class. About a week later on a Friday night, I'm walking in the Shakers, and there she is on the dance floor. She's doing her little dance move she used to do like this, like swim move. And I said, oh, snap, this is my moment. So my jam was playing, and there I am. Dun, 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 dun. I said, can we dance? And she's like, mm-hmm, dun, dun, dun. This is a true story. Dun, dun, dun. Tears may fall, tears may fall from your eyes. Tears may fall from your eyes. And then she says to me, true story, she goes, I'll be right back, I gotta go to the bathroom. I says, all right, yeah, I'll hold your spot. Tears may fall from, and after 15 minutes, tears were falling from my eyes. Because she didn't come back. True story, she left me hanging on the dance floor. I'm so mad, I'm still mad. So I kind of did my back step. Tears may fall from I felt so rejected. And she did play me. She does tell me she played me because she didn't want anything to have to do with me until I finally met her in the union, common area. Y'all know the rest of the story. First date, Taco Bell. It was history from there. 24 years, we had a lot of fun. We go out, love to go dancing, love to go places, love to see things. Something happens, or after a few years, we got married, but then something happens when you get married, right? Life happens, work happens, stuff happens, kids happen, and all the fun turns into none. And then it's all about the busyness of life. It's all about keeping the family together. It's all about trying to make ends meet. It's trying to, trying to just get through life. And this is so important that all you marrieds need to know out there today is that people don't fall in love having a bad time. People fall in love having a good time. People fall in love having fun. Am I right? Going places, doing things, seeing people, chilling, right? Fun. But over time, the marriage becomes stale, boring. We become boring. And for us married folks, a fun night is renting a video and ordering in Chinese. Come on, somebody, right? Like, yeah, let's have fun. Click. Halfway through the movie, my boys know. I'm like, we're having fun. It's not fun. That's boring. Your spouse didn't marry you because you were boring. Married you because you were fun. Now, fun has changed for us. I understand. I was a little far from God at that time. And I've made some changes in my life. Hopefully, you guys see those changes, right? But still, fun factor is so important in a marriage. You see, staying in love requires you to keep the fun. You got to keep the fun. You got to have fun. You got to stay fun. You got to be fun. You got to keep fun. You got to just laugh. You got to smile. Because this is what I've learned. Couples who laugh together, last together. And that's all I came to tell you today. Couples who laugh together, last. Because I've never met a couple on the verge of divorce who were laughing. Maybe they were laughing because of the settlement, but many couples that I've counseled over the years don't come into my office laughing. They come in crying. And I've learned that if you learn to laugh, and this is a principle in life, you have to learn how to have fun in life. You got to learn how to smile. We got to learn how to have fun in church. You got to have fun in life. God is a smiling, happy God. He's not up there angry. He doesn't have angry eyebrows. He's not angry bird. He's not out there angry at the world. No, he's smiling, and he created laughter, and he wants us to laugh, and he wants us to have fun, and he wants us to have fun in our marriage relationship because that's what he wants us to do. That's why he invented marriage, for us to enjoy life with our spouse. But over time, the sizzle begins to fizzle. Happily ever after turns into unhappily ever after. And we find ourselves in a rut. We find ourselves going through the motions of marriage, relationship. We find ourselves just walking through life. And you see, this is the important thing you have to understand, because without fun, without romance, without sexual intimacy, marriage is reduced to a business relationship. It's true. There are many business partners living together today. There are many people who are just roommates, who are just existing together, who are just going through the motions for the sake of the kids, who are just going through the motions because it's financially too expensive to break up. Am I reading your mail today? Let me know. It's true. Business relationships. God never intended for you to have a business relationship with your spouse. He intended for you to be madly in love with each other. And what I've learned over time after 24 years is that it should get sweeter as the days go by. It does. Get sweeter as the days go by. See, the scriptures, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs today. This is what the scriptures say in Ecclesiastes 9. This is written by Solomon, the wisest man in the world. And he said, what does he say? First of all, enjoy life. Can someone say amen to that? Enjoy life. And this is the life that God wants you to enjoy. He wants you to eat. He wants you to be merry. And he wants you to drink water. That's what he wants. Drink water. Eat, drink, and be merry, right? He wants you to enjoy life. Sometimes I say things and anyway, we'll keep going. Enjoy life with who? With your wife, or husband, right? Enjoy life with your spouse. Listen, if you're dating someone and it's not enjoyable, don't ever think that getting married is going to be better. If you're dating someone or in a relationship with somebody and it's not enjoyable, then you're not in a good relationship. Because a healthy relationship is an enjoyable relationship. It's fun to be around that person. It's fun to be with that person. It's enjoyable. So it says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. All of these days are meaningless. These meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Enjoy life. In other words, life is short. A lot of the things that we value are really meaningless. And what really matters is the relationship you have with your spouse. Your most important relationship here on earth is with your spouse, if you are married. Can I get an amen on that one, right? Not your mama, not your papa, not your kids, no one else. The most important relationship you have on earth is your spouse. The scripture says, enjoy that life. Enjoy life with your spouse. Enjoy all of these days with your spouse. Have fun. Enjoy it. I just want to encourage everyone. Have fun. So what kind of fun? There's three kinds of fun I want to teach you about today. First of all, there's that face-to-face fun. You need FaceTime in your marriage. You each need to give each other FaceTime. Not your face on the screen or your face on your phone or your face on your laptop. You have to spend FaceTime with your spouse, looking into their eyes and communicating them to them and talking with them. FaceTime is so important. In this culture, FaceTime is hard to come by because we are so connected. We're so connected to our screens. We're addicted to our screens. And our screens, which are great tools, which are important to have, which many of you are watching church right now on a screen, is so awesome. But the challenge comes when the screen replaces your spouse. And you say, well, how do I know if my screen is replacing my spouse? Well, you know, you get to know more about your wife or your husband through their posts than you do through communicating to them. Oh, really, honey? I didn't know that happened. Yeah, I posted that yesterday. FaceTime. FaceTime's all very important. You have to learn how to have continuous FaceTime over time. FaceTime, and think about when you first were dating. Wasn't it all about FaceTime? Right, you have your phone, it's all on FaceTime, right? You're all FaceTime. Then when you get married and living in the same house, it's like, where did the FaceTime go? Because we're doing TV time. We're doing laptop time. We're doing social media time. And those are good. But not at the expense of FaceTime. FaceTime. What are you doing FaceTime? Well, you have some casual conversations. Have some casual fun too. What's up, babe? What's up, hon? How's it going? How's your day? How's work? How's life? What's going on? Casual. Looking forward to family night. Looking forward to date night. Looking forward to different things. FaceTime. Just looking at each other. Connecting with each other. This has to be intentional. This has to be intentional in your relationship if you're going to have continued connection and fun in relationship. You see, marriage is all about connection. Connection is important. FaceTime is important for connection. You got to stay connected to the face, face to face. Be intentional with eating together. One of the things growing up we've always done, my boys growing up, we always try to FaceTime as a family. But then Ruth and I try to have FaceTime on Fridays when we have breakfast together. We just have FaceTime. We try to have FaceTime. We make FaceTime important. And we try to have FaceTime every day. Every day we try to look at each other and say, hello, how's it going? Because you ever notice that you can go through days and days and days without even looking at each other's eyes? Has that ever happened to you? Just busy, rotating shifts, kids, things, that. Good night, hon. Love you. Mwah. FaceTime. So you have your casual conversations, then you have some intimate conversations. Those intimate conversations can begin with desires, dreams. What's going on within you? Casual is superficial. Intimate goes a little deeper. Goes a little deeper in how you're feeling. You seemed a little tired. You seem a little distant. What's going on with your soul? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your life? we struggle to have casual conversations. Can you imagine trying to find time for intimate conversations? But I've discovered that those intimate conversations lead to greater connection emotionally and also lead to romantic conversations. Remember those romantic conversations you used to have when you were dating? Go on, somebody. Don't be shy. I love you, baby. You look so hot today. You look so good. Well, the scriptures teach us, as husbands and wives, that we're to have intimate conversations. We're to have conversations about what's going on in our souls, but we're also to not lose the romance in our conversations. Look at what Song of Songs says. This is the husband. A Song of Songs is a book in the Bible where a husband and a wife are having really intimate romantic conversations and relationship. And this is what the husband says to the wife. What do you say in romantic relationships or intimate conversations? You say, honey, how beautiful you are. How many women would love to hear that, like, every day? Like, honey, you are. Only two? Or the rest of you don't like that? My wife loves to hear that she's beautiful. Loves for me to say you're beautiful. How many love to hear that from their spouse, right? Husband's wife, how beautiful you are. How pleasing. How about my love? Not Ruth, right? How beautiful you are. How pleasing, my love, with all your delights. Woo! Fuego, right? That's fire. And so this is the beginning. This is casual conversation transitioning to romantic. This is healthy, Christ-like love between a husband and a wife. Okay? Married love. So it goes a little further. How many want to keep reading? Right? Okay. Verse 8. Verse 7. Your stature is like that of the palm. And your breasts like clusters of fruit, you know? Somebody would love to hear that. Don't be uncomfortable because this is scripture. I'm just reading the Bible. And y'all go home and watch all kind of crappy sex movies anyway. People ripping stuff off, sleeping together all the time. This is what real how else are you going to hear about true love other than in church, right? I need a towel. I'm getting hot. So, like, your stature is that like a palm and your breasts like clusters of fruit. Let's read a little more. I said, I will climb that palm tree. Man, how many are going to climb that palm tree? I will take hold of its fruit. May your breasts, some of y'all are like, this is in the Bible. Honey, let's read this together. May your breasts be like clusters of grape on the vine and the fragrance of your breath like apples. How many want one more? Just one more. One more. And your mouth like the best wine. Woo! Fuego. Woo, I feel it. Fire. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time, guys, you spoke like this to your wife? It's been a while for me. This is how intimate conversations begin. By first acknowledging the love and then expressing desire. Desire. So what's her response? You didn't think there was a response. Here's the response. Y'all ready for the response? All right, this is the response. So men, this is like intimacy. This is connection. This is being emotionally present. Don't go back. Don't be showing the slide yet. Go back. There you go. No, go back. Oh, yeah, there you go. Verse 9a. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Hold it right there. This is emotional connection. You're connecting physically, emotionally, mentally with your words. And then after you express that connection, you express her beauty. This is not about necessarily about sex. This is about connection. This is about desire, right? This is about wanting a person. And then, so here we go. This is her response. You ready? Boom. May the wine go straight to my beloved, flowing gently over lips and teeth. I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me. What I've learned is women just love it when they feel desired, and so do men. Husbands and wives love to be desired in a relationship. oftentimes, what you need to do is express that desire to each other and tell that person how much you love them, how beautiful they are, and how much you desire them. This is not just once at the I do, at the altar when you say, I do. I know us men, we express love and desire in different ways. I know for me, I repainted our bedroom. It is hers, but I get to sleep in there too. And but you know what I mean by decor. She loves the decor. So I repainted it, her bedroom, and I'm expressing love through my painting. And she appreciates that. And she does love that. But that's not enough. How many know that? She needs me to tell her, I love her, I desire her, and you are beautiful. And I want you, and I need you, and I love you. This is intimate conversations, intimate, okay? How many want to keep going, or you just want to go a little deeper with the intimacy? All right, let's keep going. Now with Scripture, we've got to change the conversations. Now let's go to honest. So you have intimate conversations, then you have to have honest conversations. This is so important because a lot of us lie to our spouses. We lie. How are you doing? Good. How's everything? Fine. Are you okay? Yes. Anything bothering you? No. We lie. Isn't that true? We really don't know how to be honest in our relationship. If you're going to have fun, you have to have connection. If you're going to have connection, you have to have intimate and honest relationship, honest conversations with each other. So let me teach you how to have an honest conversation. This is in life. This is if you're single, this is when you're dating, this is when you're in any relationship. You guys want to keep going? Here, honest conversation. It's called the community temperature reading. And this is how Ruth and I practice. We learned this through emotionally healthy relationships. This is how Ruth and I begin practicing how to be honest with each other. It begins at the bottom, and we always tend to want to begin with appreciations. When we have those breakfast meetings, when we have our time together, we start off with appreciation. Honey, I appreciate you. And this is what I appreciate you for. How many practice that, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many practice that in marriage? Just imagine if you expressed appreciation regularly to your spouse. Appreciation really is showing honor to your spouse. Imagine starting off your day or your conversation explaining moments of appreciation in your marriage. So this is how we begin. I appreciate you, and I love you, and I thank you for all you do. And thank you for doing the dishes. Thank you for cleaning. Thank you for painting the bedroom. Thank you for doing the laundry. Thank you for that. But next level up, y'all with me? Next level up, but I am puzzled. I am puzzled, honey. What's your puzzle, dear? I am puzzled as to why you keep filling up the recycle bin when it's full. I'm puzzled. I have puzzles. I'm confused. I need clarity. I need explanation. See, what we often do when we have puzzles is we make assumptions and we assume what a person means or what a person is communicating by their behavior. And you know what they say about assumptions? Yeah. Assumptions, if I spell it, is that bad? Just spell assumptions. It makes a spell it. And that's what assumptions do. It causes division and disconnection in marriage. So you explain your puzzles. You explain, I'm puzzled. You don't explain angrily. You don't explain with emotions. You just explain, honey, I have a puzzle. And then we talk about complaints and possible solutions. And then we go a little higher and we say, okay, I have some things I want to talk to you about. I noticed that you overfill the garbage, and I would prefer that you empty it before it gets full. That sound good? Some practice that with me. I noticed, and I prefer. You don't have to yell at your spouse. You don't have to scream. You always pack the garbage. You always do this. You always do that. That causes unresolved anger, resentment in your soul. It gets you bitter. It causes the disconnection, right? How many know what I'm talking about? So you talk about your notices and your preferences. I notice that the laundry you keep throwing it on the floor, this is what I would prefer to do. And when my wife comes to me and says, this is my preference, guess what my response is? No, I don't want to do it that way. No, I'm just kidding. I first get a little triggered. It's true. I get a little triggered, but I don't react and trigger. I respond with, okay. Why? Because teamwork is more important. Sometimes we have to make some compromises, but we discuss our complaints together at a table, face-to-face, expressing our preferences. Isn't that good? Express your preferences. And then you go into new information. By the way, my mother's coming into town. Really? Okay, thanks for sharing. When? Tonight. What? No, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but... How many know that you can be married and go on through life and you don't even know what's happening in each other's life? You express new information, but this one I love the best is hopes and wishes. Do you have any hopes? Do you have any wishes? Out of those hopes and wishes came her desire, Ruth's desire, my wife's desire to pursue her credentialing. And she said, yeah, I have this desire to kind of move into my credentialing and be a pastor and lead. And out of that, brought her, she did all the work and the training, she became credentialed, now she's a co-pastor of this church. That happened a few years ago when she expressed her hopes, dreams, and desires. And we continue to talk about hopes, dreams, and desires. And this is great for that conversation that we need. Oh man, we're out of time. Wow, we're having fun. I'm out of time, it's already 10:30. Okay, so let's keep going. What do we do, face-to-face? Let's do side-to-side really quick. We do side-to-side fun. Okay, we got face-to-face fun, right? Side-to-side fun. That's friendship type of fun. That's just hanging out. That's going to the park. That is, you see, men love it when their wives are acting like their best friends. They love that. Don't you like that? I love it when my wife sits and watches football with me. I love it when my wife goes on a walk with me. And women also desire men to enter into their world. They love it when men also do things that they desire to do, like watch Hallmark movies and go to the country fair in Rhinebeck, which I had to do a couple years ago. It was great. Rhinebeck Fair, it was great because they had sausage and pepper sandwiches and they served them. But you, in other words, you got to get into each other's world. You got to be able to do things together side to side, ride bikes, go to the park, watch a movie. Go to the store. For us, it's walking through Hobby Lobby, singing the hymns, right? Walking through Hobby Lobby, going to breakfast, spending time together. It's that side-to-side fun. We see this in Song of Songs. If you keep reading that passage, verse 9 or verse 11 says, come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let's go to the city. Let's spend time together. I love it. A few years ago, Ruth and I went to Madison Square Garden to the Billy Joel concert, one of the best concerts I have ever been to in my life. We went to see Les Mis on Broadway. We go to the symphony. We do things. Do we need more work in this area? Absolutely. It's all about keeping the fun, but it's all about that side-to-side fun relationship with your spouse that gets lost over time. And notice it said, let us spend time in the villages. What's missing? Kids. They ain't talking about kids in this passage. It's not let us and the kids go to the villages. Family events are great, but you didn't marry your kids. You married your spouse. And let me give you a news flash. One day your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to leave the house. Most divorces happen within the first 5 years of marriage and between the 20th and the 25th year of marriage. Because when the kids leave, the husband and the wife are now there facing each other. They don't know each other. They've grown distant and disconnected, and they move on with their lives. It's true statistics. You gotta make time for the side-to-side fun, and it costs money sometimes. And this is what I tell couples, you either pay now or pay later. When you invest in that side-to-side fun, not everything needs to be expensive, but you have to invest into your marriage. You have to invest in keeping the fun in the marriage, that side-to-side fun. Can I get 5 more minutes? This, the best is yet to come. The best is part. Okay, so you got face-to-face, side-to-side, and then you need this belly-button-to-belly-button fun. Okay, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody, right? Wasn't it worth the wait right now? Worth the wait? So I'm reading the scriptures, and it keeps going. You want to keep reading that passage? It said, let's go to the villages. Let's have fun. And then verse 12, let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. What is she saying? She's saying basically this. Let's have sex in the park. That's what she's saying. Isn't that what she's saying? Let me ask you, when was the last time you had sex in the park? Y'all need to have sex in the park if you're going to have a fun marriage. Don't you love God's word today, right? Don't you love God's word? You see, this is between husband and a wife. This is not between your boyfriend and girlfriend. This is true love between a husband and a wife. Let's enjoy each other. Three reasons for sex. Number one, for kids. Pretty simple, right? Procreation. God says, be fruitful and multiply. Secondly is oneness. Oneness in your relationship. There's union, there's intimacy, there's connection in that relationship. After a sexual experience with you have with your spouse, there's a chemical reaction in your body that's released, and it's called dopamine, and it makes you just feel good and satisfied and full of pleasure. That's what dopamine does. And that's the purpose or one effect, physical effect of sexual intimacy. Unfortunately, sex can be addictive in a relationship. I just want to tell the young people here, the single people, that sex is not the main thing in marriage. It's not. It's the intimacy. It's the conversation. It's working together. It's not the main thing in a marriage. But it can become addictive and also can be fulfilled in other places. First of all, husbands, or let me tell the wives, your husband's only place to find sexual fulfillment is with you. Anything else is sinful. Think about that. Any place else or anything else is sinful. Pornography should not be introduced in your marriage. Pornography should not be part of your marriage. Pornography is pseudo-intimacy. It's fake intimacy. It actually can become addictive. It can release dopamine. And it's just as addictive as heroin. Statistics tell us. It's that heroin, that pleasure that heroin gives is released through this experience. So do not introduce that to your spouse or into your marriage. And women, when the faucet is closed for a man, that is a crisis. That is a crisis. But men, husbands, when you're not emotionally connected to your spouse, that's almost the same type of crisis to your spouse. Now, I know both of us desire sexual intimacy and both of us desire emotional connection, but men tend to lean more towards the physical side. Women tend to lean more to the emotional side, and to keep each other from those desires actually can be a crisis in the marriage, which opens the door. If the marriage is not grounded in God's word, is not grounded in character and in truth, can open the door to outside relationships or other ways to fulfill sexual fulfillment or emotional needs. Y'all still with me? Oneness is so important. And also for fun. To have fun. Okay? For fun. You gotta have fun in your marriage. You gotta have fun in your relationship. You gotta keep the sizzle in your marriage. You gotta keep the fire burning. Really quick, I gotta end. Where's Alex? Come on up, Alex. I got to end, but listen. Let me give you some quick tips on how to keep the fire burning in marriage. Two quick tips. You all ready? Men, work on your approach. Okay? How do you keep that intimacy? Work on your approach. This is not a proper approach. You know you want me. You know you want this, baby. Come on. Come on. Let's get it on. That's not the right approach. It starts with casual conversations. It starts with honest conversations. It starts with intimate conversations. I've said this in the previous messages. Sex begins in the kitchen. Right? Starts there. Connection. Intimacy. So men, you gotta bring some romance back. You got to buy some flowers. You got to, how about a card? How about a love note? How about a love text? And it's not all sexual. Not everything needs to be sexual. Not a hug doesn't need to be sexual. How about just embracing your spouse? How about just talking to your spouse? How about just hugging and loving and just valuing that person for who she is, not what she can give you? Men, work on your approach. Women, real simple. Make an approach. That would be awesome. Do something. Listen, anything looks better in satin than flannels and sweats. Come on, somebody, right? Satin it up. Make an approach. If I were to summarize this series, I'll summarize it this way, because we're out of time. Man, that was fun. Did y'all have fun today? If I were to summarize this series for all singles, married, everyone out there, listen, we all need to make, go ahead, you can hit, we all need to make God, what? Our spouse, our, and our marriage. This is the summary of this series. Come on, somebody. You got to make God your first love. If you're single, it begins here. First love. Jesus, you're my first love. I'm going to make you my one. And I'm going to be the one until I find the one. But until then, I'm going to love you with all my heart. Single people, let me tell you, you have an opportunity to give Jesus your undivided attention, your focus, your passion, your energy, your time. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul. Married people, love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul. Be the one. Right? Love the one. Be the one. You'll find the one. And then make your spouse your first priority. More important than your kids, more important than anything else, more important than your job, more important than your ministry, more important than anything else is your spouse. And lastly, make marriage your first ambition. My desire is not to have a great job or a great house or a great career. My job, my desire, let me say it this way, my desire is to have a great marriage. I leave you with this. The greatest gift you can leave your kids is not an Xbox, not a PlayStation, not an iPhone, not a five-bedroom house, not a car, not a, the best and most greatest gift you can leave your children is a loving relationship with your spouse. A husband and wife who love each other unconditionally and show that love. The greatest gift my mom and dad have left me. Thanks, mom and dad, if you're watching. Love you guys. Is a mom and a dad who have loved each other and placed each other first unconditionally. They have shown me what it means to have a great marriage. My mom and dad are married over 50 years, and even to this day, my dad wakes up. I spend some time with them at Christmas. My dad wakes up, goes over. He has his slippers and his robe. You know, he's getting older. He goes over to his wife and says, "Good morning, honey." Gives her a kiss on the lips. And just before they go to bed, "Good night, honey." It's been like that for 50 years. I've never seen them not do that. I'm sure they were mad at each other, but they placed each other. That's the greatest gift you can leave the world. Is a husband and wife who love each other. Because when you do, you reflect God's love to the world. I know some of you have challenges in marriage. I know it's hard. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be quick to divorce. Don't be quick to give up. Just continue to trust God. Continue working on you. And I know God will give you what you need. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,